recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let lies, feline, with a death wish. E right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
It's a big win for this show today, Sean. Yeah, we'll get to the Super Bowl. Astros win. Yeah. They beat the Rangers. Cool. Understood. Very exciting to win another trophy. Love putting a trophy or keeping a trophy in a trophy case. So it's a title update day, Sean. A patch for our favorite topic, EA College Football. We've got new uniforms in the game. They're eliminating some of the cheese from players online, although I don't play online. It's a giant day in the show's history. How will we
have taken today off?
I know. If they would have told me yesterday, yeah, or at least a week ago, I would have taken today off to celebrate.
Anything to take a day off to play that game. No, yeah. All right, cool.
So if you don't like spin moves taking you from the 20 to the 25, that's out.
No
more jet passes aren't as effective anymore.
I can adjust. I've already adjusted.
To the jet pass?
Yeah. RPO. RPO merchant right here.
Yeah, and that Mickey Mouse pop gun offense you like to run.
I am the most Mickey Mouse.
Hey, pick up those easy yards. Love those free access yards, right?
Giving it to you.
Yeah,
take
I take them. If you can't stop it, I'm going to keep running it. So that's for the show. That's the selfishness of this show. We start off with what affects us directly. And we know some of you guys play. And once Joe George decides to buy a system, a console, he can get in on this too.
Get this.
He can start Gallant George with that topic too. once he gets into the joy of playing for hours after hours and building up a dynasty, which that also has been fixed too, Sean. So you'll take note of that when you start your next dynasty. The logic has been fixed. So no more 5-7 Georgia in the playoff.
Oh, I was fine with that. It seems realistic.
Yeah, I'm sure the committee would put a 5-7 Georgia team if they could find a way.
There was a year where like 7-5 Texas was like number six. So I was like, hell yeah.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
The brand.
Keep it up.
The brand exceeds everything else. But beyond what we care about most, a virtual football game, the Astros. They take the series. Kikuchi out there again, just balling. Didn't get a quality start, but you'll take that from him. And he has been really good in his last two, or in his first two outings with the Astros. Couldn't really expect anything more from him. He got out of an early jam. I think the Rangers had a runner on third with no outs, and they didn't score. And after that, pretty much nails until the sixth inning where he had some trouble. And the Astros, I wouldn't say cruise because Ryan Pressly pitched, so it's never a real cruise when he's out there making it a tighter ball game than you would like. But you win. You get contributions throughout the lineup. Pena and Myers didn't have great days, but everyone else contributed. Yordan with another home run. And because the Mariners are who they are, they lose the first two games of their series to the Tigers. So now you're back in first place after being a game and a half back after the opener where you blow a game that you should have won. You're back in first place.
Where the Astros belong.
I mean, yeah, they haven't spent that many days in first place this year, but or even last year, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's where they belong.
But that's where they belong. And they're back. They have the day off. They'll go to Boston to see the Red Sox. The level of competition does take a step up over the course of the next 7 to 10 days. We'll see how they respond to that. But you'll take what you got. I'm not as effusive in the praise of the Astros as John was to start the show beyond winning the Silver Boot. I don't know what it means other than you won a game. String 7 to 10 days through about 7 or 8 days of this, and then we can have a talk about maybe they're back to where they were when they're running down the Rangers, the Mariners, as opposed to what it's been over the last, 3 weeks or so. Pretty middling baseball, but you win series. That's how you gain ground and maybe eventually separate from the Mariners. So you'll take it and you move on. You got out of there with what you needed. You bounce back from an awful start to the series, and your pitching continues to be a saving grace. You finally scored more than 4 runs yesterday, and you needed them, considering Presley's late game shenanigans. But your starters have been pretty much nails. We have an update on Verlander. We have an update on Tucker. Well, more so an article on Tucker. Chandler Roma of The Athletic talked to 3 doctors, none of them who actually have done anything with Kyle Tucker, because the Astros don't make their doctors and trainers available to the media. So Chandler Roma had to go do some digging and find some doctors who would have some knowledge about Tucker's injury. And it was all pretty much, these injuries are inconsistent. You never know. Everybody reacts differently. So what you think could be a 2-week injury or a week injury can be a 3-month injury. And he's been out for 65 days. We have an official number. No one was interested in doing all the math. It was just, hey, he's been out a long time. Chandler Rome has done the math. And as of the publishing of the article, it's been 65 days since Kyle Tucker's been out. And it's felt that way on offense recently. They've been good without Kyle Tucker. Been one of the best teams of baseball without him over this span of 65 days. But it feels like a slog the last couple weeks on offense. And you'd love to have him back.
Yeah, I was going to say the last 20 or so have been pretty tough.
Yeah, it's been a slog. He's in the mode where he can get a light jog in. So John asked this question to me, and I'll ask it of you. With the caveat that he won't exacerbate the injury and it won't make it a longer-term issue, if you could only have Kyle Tucker at 80% but and it's strictly a DH, or you wait, because let's say we put him at a return August 25th, or, and you get him back at 80% but he can only DH because he's still not at a point where he can play the outfield. Or you wait 2 more weeks because that's the difference between him being a full go in the outfield. What are you doing?
So the 25th. The
25th or September 7th.
And he won't exacerbate it being a DH?
Correct. Those 2 weeks, but he'll never be able to play the outfield the rest of the way. It just, he's 80% playing on it every day. He won't heal or get stronger, but he can tough it out. And if they make the postseason, tough it out in the postseason too as a DH.
That is tough because now you're putting Yordan in left every day.
Yeah.
And Yordan in left yesterday afternoon. Didn't go so well.
Not great.
Didn't go so well. We're due for one of those, I feel like. I guess you just wait it out.
As long as you're in whether you're slightly ahead or in striking distance, I would love to have 100% Kyle Tucker where he can go back in the right field. It's just a question of whether 100% Kyle Tucker can exist this year.
Yeah, I mean, you can stick around in the division without him. They actually came back in the division without him. It's in the playoffs, really, that you kind of need full force. Everybody, but especially Tucker, and in the field, that way Yordan can play DH. I think because the Astros can't stick around, and so this is more of a Mariners and Rangers thing of they're not good enough to play over 500 baseball, or at least they haven't the first 115 games of the season. They haven't been good enough to actually run away with this thing, where if any of these 3 teams were as good as they were last year or as good as they thought they would be coming into the year, that one of these teams would already be up by 7 or 8 games in this division. But since no one has, I think the Astros can still play this game for a little bit longer with the eye on the ultimate prize, which is a World Series run.
Oh, it's not winning the Silver Boot? Because
they already finished that.
That was not the ultimate prize, simply one of the prizes.
Yeah, and they already got the prize.
For the eighth consecutive year.
New ultimate prize.
The division.
Some more silverware.
The division, then the ALCS.
Hardware.
And then the World Series.
Yes.
We're taking it a step at a time. I think I gave you these quotes yesterday, but back to Kyle Tucker. This is what Dana Brown said yesterday. We should get him back sometime this month. He's pretty much pain-free and making great progress. He had good activity yesterday in Houston. Now, that would be 2 days ago. There's a chance he could be back in the big leagues this month. We need him bad. The only thing I take from that is the final sentence. Yes, you need him bad. That's the only fact in there. They need him bad. The other stuff... When he's in a uniform and not doing live BP, like they make their pitchers wear full uniforms. When he's in a uniform, ready to go, in the lineup, cool. But all the he should be back. He could be back. He's making progress. He's still at light jog mode.
I have some thoughts on pretty much pain free.
That means there's still pain.
Yes, I would like. It's always easy for someone else for you to call someone else basically pain free. Ask the person that's...
make Kyle Tucker available. Yeah. He can talk about, is he pain-free? Yeah, what does that mean? What does almost pain-free mean? He's a day away from waking up with no pain?
Yeah, or it just hurts a little bit all the time?
Yes.
Or it only hurts...
When he does
really, or it really hurts a lot.
And then it goes
only
away.
A little bit at the time.
Yes, it really hurts a lot when he does baseball stuff.
Yes.
Which would be a problem.
After he's done light jogging, it hurts.
It hurts, and then he has to recover. So, that's where we are with Kyle Tucker. We're waiting and see. Talked about it yesterday. Verlander on the verge of going into his rehab assignment. Looks to be closer. We'll just have to see how he responds when he's down in Sugar Land. We'll hear some sound from one Zach DeCenzo. His second Major League appearance at... Much better than the first. His second game, much better than the first. We'll hear from him. His family was in the crowd. And it was a much better time for the Space City Home Network crew than it was when Blair Henley was making his debut. And that was like a disaster class of having the family on screen. Julio Morales went up there and talked to DeCenzo's family while he was having a good day. That was cool. Flashing to Blair Henley's family and watching them take every pitch in, and it'd be so painful. And then eventually he gets an out. We're like, yay, and then they eventually pull him out of the game. Different story. This one went better. But we won't hear from the family. We will hear from DeCenzo when we come back. Nice outing by the kid, bouncing back from his tough Major League debut. We'll hear from him. There's a lot of Texan sound to get to because the tour for them, at least the tour of the media following the Texans, continues. It was Kay Adams' day yesterday. She spoke to a lot of Texans, whether it be Danielle Hunter, or Nico Collins. She also spoke to D'Amico about several things. And then we're going to hear from Stephon Diggs' former quarterback. Does he miss Stephon Diggs? What a question to ask. Some Buffalo media member was like, hey, you miss him? Josh Allen gave a very football answer and a man answer. He would not say he missed him. You can't say that. But he spoke highly of Stephon Diggs, so we'll get to that during the show as well. I'll ask Sean how he would celebrate a bronze medal, because one Olympian, I imagine Sean wouldn't do it the way she did it. But she celebrated a bronze medal in a very unique way for the Olympics, so we'll talk about that. And we've got wide receiver news. DK Metcalf is starting fights and delivering messages. Brandon Ayuk, we know the asking price from the 49ers. Looks like this is why that trade isn't happening, or at least hasn't happened yet. The asking price may be a bit too high. So we've got a lot of stuff to get to, and a big injury for the Texas Longhorns. How does Sean feel about losing his star back? A lot to get to today. We're just getting started. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
–
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I have Zach with me who's got to be feeling good, some relief. I don't know. You tell me after getting your first hit and, of course, being a part of this win.
Yeah, a lot of relief. Man, I'm breathing. I'm playing the game and having fun out here. I'm having a blast. It's truly a blessing. One of the coolest experiences in my life. So.
Take me through that first hit, the first at bat, and the feeling that you had once you got to second.
Yeah, I knew I kind of got it off the end a little bit, so I wasn't sure if it was going to hang up for him to catch. Touched some grass, and I pulled in second. Man, it was one of the best feelings ever, so it was pretty cool.
I did get a chance to talk to your parents. Do you think, I mean, how do you feel like they are right now, and how have they supported you the last couple of days?
I think after the game last night going over, they're breathing a little bit too with me, so I think they're just super thrilled for me, obviously very proud. This is just a super cool experience that I get to share and have them here to watch it and witness it. So.
I know there's a lot going on with you, but with this team right now and how important these games are, how does it feel to be a part of such a significant win for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that I could produce a little bit today and be a part of a win. Good two wins the last 2 days and carrying it on the road to Boston with a little bit of momentum. So it's pretty exciting.
Astros at 59-55. That was Zach DiCenzo. Just a shot in the dark for the club. It was kind of alluded to when he was brought up. They need some pop. We heard, or at least I read the quotes from Dana Brown in the first segment about they need Kyle Tucker bad. They're looking for answers anywhere. You could say from 6 through 9, that from night to night can be a nothing, and sometimes an offer. That wasn't the case yesterday. You got contributions from Caratini, DiCenzo, and Dubon. Myers, Jake Myers had a rough afternoon. He went 0-for-5, but you know, he was pretty good and big yesterday, Tuesday. And Jeremy Peña was 0-for-4 as well. He contributed on Tuesday, too. So you got pretty much what you would call a team win. You had some bobbles. Taylor Scott came in, couldn't bail out Kikuchi after the 5 and a 30 pitch, and then the Presley inning with the 3 hits, the earned run, and in danger of giving up more till he got out of it. But 6-4 is the win. They're 59-55. Half game up on the Mariners. They lost last night to the Tigers at home.
Did you see the catch that basically?
Yes, I did. Cal Raleigh was at the plate.
Yeah.
And it was 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth.
Meadows went back and like over the wall. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the score line would say, oh, they got blown out, but they tacked on, the Tigers tacked on runs in the top of ninth after surviving that attempt at a home run. Would have made it 4-3, and we would have seen how the game would have changed. Yeah, so the Astros got some help. They took care of their own business, and the Tigers went out there with help from a great catch, changed the complexion of that game last night. And you take back the division lead, and you have a day off. I think the Mariners play today, so you could be tied by the time you step out on the field against Boston. I don't know how the percentage points will work out because the Mariners will have played 2 more games. I think the Astros would still have the lead if that comforts you on August 8th as opposed to, you know, the end of the season, having a percentage point lead, which is impossible by the time the season's over.
Whether they're leading on August 8th or August 9th, whether that matters.
Yeah, it doesn't matter considering how close the race is, particularly when it's just based on less games played. I think it does. I don't think it matters very much, but it's nice to screenshot that and put it on your Twitter. Back in the lead, even though everything says you're tied, except, hey, we didn't play as many games as them, so our percentage point lead has us ranked up top of the division.
Also, how many times have people screenshotted the divisions page and been like, Astros back on top?
Yeah, how many times have you said Astros back on top? Written that?
Just
back in first place.
At least mix it up a little, you know.
You want to change the verbiage. I was thinking, hey, maybe we stop doing that because of the back and forth nature of this.
Well, you know, if you're an Astros either beat reporter
or engagement farmer.
Well, yes, engagement farmer. You know, maybe choose a GIF. Maybe a meme of the time, you know. Really speak to what's going on in the cultural the cultural heartbeat.
Maybe put an Astros logo on Tim Walz's face. and a Mariners logo on J.D. Vance's face. I don't know. I don't know what you want to do.
Something
like that. Just switch it up a little bit. But you got to know your audience. It may upset some people depending on what your normal following is.
Put a Astros logo on Marcus Jordan's head and first place written on the mysterious white powder.
Yeah. We didn't get to that. We
got
to that in a group chat, but we never got to it on the show. What Sean is referencing is...
John is slipping.
Yeah, I sent it to everyone. I said Bronny would never. If you missed it, Marcus Jordan, the son of Michael Jordan, was caught. He wasn't hiding it. He was in public. He had a little... He was photographed in public, leaning over, bringing something up to his nose that appeared to be holding a mysterious, less, not that mysterious, we all can figure out what it is, white substance as he was taking a sniff. Snorting, you might say. I don't remember the son of a goat ever being pictured publicly, but maybe him and Hunter Biden can hang out. One and the same, apparently.
Yeah, they have something in common.
Yeah, at least that. I don't know what else they might have in common, but they do have that in common, publicly or at least pictured privately or publicly doing drugs, allegedly, in Marcus Jordan's case. I don't know what that is.
Allegedly.
We just assume, considering what he was using to bring it up to his nose, it has all the signs.
It could be crushed up medicine. I don't know.
Yes, I don't know why you would try to make it look that cool if it's crushed up medicine and why you did it would do it that way. But he's snorting a white substance. You can find it. Just type in Marcus Jordan's name, and you can make a ruling on what that is.
Also, the equipment he was using made
what made it very apparent, at least to the untrained eye,
that
when
equipment
he was
only gets used for certain things.
Yeah, well, you're not crushing up vitamins to snort, and no one snorts vitamins. You only snort very few things, and it's generally some type of illicit substance. You want it into the bloodstream very quickly, I guess. Or it's just coke. You can find it. Make your own determination.
Yeah, make your own.
Yeah, do your own research.
Yes.
But this show has decided that's the white powder. Those are drugs. I just have never seen the legend or his son do it. We haven't seen Michael do it. We know he has his proclivities, usually drinking and gambling.
Yeah. Every man has a vice.
And Marcus's is the drugs. And was he the Larsa Pippen guy, too?
Yes, he was.
His vices are what appears to be cocaine and dating the former wife of his dad's teammate.
He lives a fun life.
Can I really blame him? Like, you tried the basketball thing. You're okay, college basketball player. Not great, but, you know, you got a scholarship. You were better than Bronny, at least, on the college level. Comparing yourself to Brian. What else would he be doing? The coke, the women at his, I won't say disposal because that's insulting. The women he has access to, I guess, because of the money that his dad has earned over his career and the name that he has. Would I be doing coke publicly? Probably not. I'm not a drug person. But all the other stuff?
No. Shout out to Chris Carter. Have a fall guy.
Well, it's hard to have a fall guy if you're being photographed doing it. It's very hard to, hey, it wasn't me, it was that other guy. No, I see you.
Maybe roll in a crew where there's someone who looks just like you.
Yeah, it's hard to come across. And you got to get a doppelganger. What am I, a dictator? Yeah. What am I?
I was going to say, I think the only guy who's ever done that is Saddam.
Yeah, or dictators. I'm sure Gaddafi probably has one out there. In fact, I believe that was a story. Gaddafi had his doubles. But I'm not a ruler of a country that has issues with the U.S. I don't have a doppelganger I can use, but what I do have is that interesting little delivery system and the white powder in it. Other than that, I don't blame Marcus Jordan for anything he's doing. You have a life of luxury. I'm assuming Michael Jordan isn't one of those dads who's like, you know what, you got to earn every cent you make. I'm not giving you money. He appears to be a dad despite what might be considered a vindictive personality when basketball is in question. Hey, you want money?
A loving father.
Yeah, have all the money you want.
It is crazy that him or Bronny, honestly, ever picked up a basketball.
Yeah, why? I get it. Well, it happened with Biggio's kids. It happens with a lot of former athletes' kids, but
Billy Wagner's kid.
Yeah, I was gonna go with the Clemens kids, but sure.
Oh yeah, the Clemens kids,
the Bichette kid, the Guerrero kid. It happens all the time.
Yeah,
the Blue Jays have had at one point a monopoly on that, but
it's not like.
But they weren't the best players, but they weren't like the best players of a generation or ever.
Did Hank Aaron's kid play?
I don't know that.
Probably not at a high enough level.
We would probably know who he was if he did. But yeah, to your point, we're not just talking about good baseball players or good basketball players. We're talking about the top two of all time. And both had two kids who have decided to pick up a basketball and try it out. Wouldn't be me.
No.
I'm picking a different sport or no sport at all.
No. Yeah. I'm
like LeBron James's kid is really into gaming. He's a Twitch streamer, but not one of the toxic ones. I wouldn't be toxic.
I don't know. The Olympics are on. Maybe pick an Olympic sport.
Yeah, if Bryce James, the younger kid who's now ranked in the top 100, I think it was top, maybe even top 50, and people are like, no, not this again. There's no chance he's one of the top 50 players in his class.
I thought he was supposed to be the good one.
He's allegedly, well, he's got the build for it. He's already, I think, taller than Bronny. So if you're pointing to one of the James kids as going to be a legit player, as far as maybe making the NBA, you'd point to Bryce, but the ranking is one that everyone's saying, no chance he's one of those guys. So we'll see. But he's a young kid. I don't know. Is he even 16 yet?
I don't know.
I'm not. Yeah. Bryce. Bryce, play volleyball.
Yeah.
That's a great sport. You can take advantage of your height and your jumping ability and don't have to deal with the pressure of being the son of the best player to ever do it.
Yeah.
Does Karch Karai's kid play beach volleyball?
I'm sure
we might have needed him because nobody from the U.S. side, men or women, are going to medal.
I was going to say, I'm sure LeBron can organize a meeting with Chase Budinger and,
just give him a little nudge.
Sand.
Yeah.
Can do some a different kind of bumps, you know?
Than Marcus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one would be more fun, though?
Hey, one's way more popular than the other. One we only talk about every 4 years.
I know. Coke is... Well, we don't really talk about Coke, but it's always there.
It comes up
a lot. Yeah, because generally it's a famous person doing it. So that's the story. I can't believe we didn't do it in the morning show. That's on me.
I just made a throwaway reference.
And it reminded me that we didn't get to it, which is something that I blame myself for. But yes, it's out there. Marcus,
I appreciate the accountability.
Marcus, it's on me, man. It's on me.
A lesser host would have thrown Austin under the bus.
Austin doesn't even want to talk. I'm not going to put that on him. The man just wants to play sound, tell everyone when their live is, and go about his day. I'm not going to put that on him. That's on me.
In the rundown, Austin.
No. Leave that man alone. Okay. He's got to wrangle John. I'm not going to make him do extra.
His job's hard enough.
Yeah. Trust me, I know.
Wake up early.
Wrangle John, yeah. Who's not on site. Austin's done a great job. He's got one more day tomorrow. 713-780-3776. If you're famous and your kid does coke, you can call in. Or you can call in about anything else. Find the picture. It's pretty clear. There's no real question about what's going on there. We will play some Texan sound when we come back. We will hear from D'Amico Ryans about his squad. And we'll also hear from a person who doesn't think that highly of the Texans this year. He's got plans, or at least thoughts about what he thinks about their future, but their immediate future, he's not so high on. So a dissenting opinion, something we haven't heard a lot this year about the Texans' 2024 season. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome in. We'll get to the Texan stuff here shortly, but the rules are the rules. Eric called in with his real name, so he gets in as quick as he can. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Del. How are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. Yeah, quick observation. If the Astros pitching with Eddie, Brown, Kikuchi, Valdez, and JV coming back, if the Astros picks up, they'll be okay. I think they'll be deep in the playoffs. And when is Tom Parker coming back? And have you heard they're making a Wolverine vs. Hulk movie? And how do you feel about Abigail Dias' workout video? She hasn't lose 20 pounds. I want to listen.
I don't feel anything about the workout video. Did he say she needs to lose weight? Is that what he said at the end?
I don't know. It was something about pounds.
Yeah, I heard pounds. 20. I don't know if he said she's already lost the weight or she needs to. Once again, Eric, topic that I push aside. You want to talk about Alicia Newman twerking? We can talk about that. But no local reporters. I'm out on that. The pitching with how Kikuchi has started his Astros tenure and the prospect of Verlander coming back, they will have enough pitching as long as the arms that are currently available don't get injured to make a run. The bats are in question. We talked about Kyle Tucker in the first segment. No one knows. Dana Brown said yesterday that the hope is he'll be back before the end of the month, but there is no real date in question. He's jogging lightly. He's dealing with some pain. Now, their degrees to this pain, is he only in pain when he does baseball stuff? Or is it a constant thing that he manages while he's out there trying to get himself back? I don't know. No one is allowed to talk to the Astros trainers or doctors. So even Chandler Rome, who covers them every day, had to ask other doctors to try to make a determination about what's going on. Because at this point, we're 65 days and counting for Kyle Tucker being out. So people are a little restless. Why is it taking so long? You hear bone bruise, you think, that'll happen. He'll come back eventually. What the doctor, or at least one doctor, said is you could almost equate a bone bruise to a microfracture, not a full break, but depending on where it hit, the impact, it could be a microfracture, which means it is far more painful and more difficult to come back from than you would think when you just hear the term bone bruise. So we know some guys are out longer than Tucker. Some guys come back in a week. They compared it to a snowflake. They're all different. No, he didn't say that his bone was like a liberal. He just said it's like a snowflake. There's different. They're unique.
Microaggression to his knee or to his shin.
No, that's not what he meant. He doesn't have a leftist bone in his body, except, you know, the one in his left leg.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, because if he had a right bone in his left leg, he probably would run weirdly. But it's just something you have to hope heals in a matter of time where he's back and ready for the playoffs. And the latest reporting says they're getting closer, but not that close. Did he ask anything else? Oh, Wolverine and Hulk is what he said? Did you hear they're making that movie? I did not hear that.
Hugh Jackman? Is he back?
Would it be Henry Cavill? And maybe I'm giving something away, but it's out there online. Henry Cavill played one of the Wolverine variants. And the story, you know, formerly of The Witcher. Now we got to deal with one of the Hemsworth brothers playing that character.
Yeah.
Great. He is also one of the Supermans too. One of the many Supermans we've seen. He was the latest Superman in the DCEU. Not the Ben Affleck Superman. No, Batman. Because I think there are now multiple Batmans with Michael Keaton coming back, but the Flash is no longer a thing, so blah, blah, blah. But Henry Cavill was there. But there's a new Superman, so he's got some time. So maybe he will be the new Wolverine, a younger giant version of Wolverine, because Hugh Jackman was a young giant version of Wolverine too.
Yeah, make him bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. The story I was going to get to before I got sidetracked with all the variants in the different comic books or comic book movies is that they reported that that cigar we saw him with when he appeared in the movie was one he kept smoking for 8 hours. Different cigars, but he had a cigar in his mouth for 8 hours, and he was sick to his stomach the next day because of all the cigar smoke, inhaling all the smoke. Yeah, I would imagine so. 8 hours worth of it, you're probably not going to feel great the next day. Hey, Henry Cavill, I appreciate it, but this is going to be about 35 seconds of actual film time. Maybe don't go so method. Maybe don't.
Yeah,
but for 35 seconds. I guess it all depends on. I guess it all depends on your devotion and the size of that check. Me,
they must have taken one of the early takes
when he wasn't green from being sick.
Yeah,
8 hours. That story feels fake. He had a cigar in his mouth for 8 hours.
It's impossible.
There's no chance. How many cigars did they have? And how? Why would it take so long to film that?
Yeah, that's honestly the 8 hours to film that scene is like crazy.
I don't want to give it away, but he's in it, and you know,
it's a cameo in a Marvel movie. He's going to be there for 45 seconds.
Yeah, how long does that take to film? How many shots did you need for what he did to Deadpool? Whatever. But no, Eric, I hadn't heard of a Wolverine versus Hulk movie. Is Harrison Ford going to be the Red Hulk in it? Or are we going to have a new Green Hulk or traditional Hulk, if you want to call it that?
Wow.
You never know.
All Hulks matter.
What? I didn't say they don't matter, but I just said...
You're like, do we get a red one or do we get one of the good ones?
I didn't say one of the good ones. That's your interpretation of what I said. I never said one of the good ones.
Classic, good old-fashioned American green one.
No gender-swapped Hulk?
Yeah.
The Hulk
yeah, that's the other one.
Yeah, there's a other Hulk, at least on Disney Plus. We'll see. Marvel, I haven't had Marvel fatigue, but I'm getting there. I'm getting to that point. I think Deadpool Wolverine did it to me. There's so many self-referential jokes in that thing. I was like, oh, okay. can I just get to the end of this stupid movie? It's fine. The plot wasn't all that great, but I didn't expect that to be the case.
Probably talk about it more. Oh, no, wait. Did we already talk about it with Michael Carroll? I forget.
Yes, I think think we did. But yes, you mentioned Michael Carroll. He'll be back tomorrow, the co-host of Comicast. He does that with John Lee. You can hear it every Friday, unless something gets in the way, from 9 to 10 on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, it's in podcast form, too. So you can listen to it whenever or wherever you find your podcast. Okay. We will get to the Texan stuff when we come back. D'Amico spoke. Joe Fornbaugh spoke about his concerns with the Texans in 2024. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
A Super Bowl winner, a quarterback, and I believe he was the Super Bowl MVP, has announced his retirement. The question is, was he good enough to require a video? Sean and I will discuss. We'll play some sound from the video a little bit later. He had a great nickname, if you're a sophomoric, if we remember what he was called. But let's talk about the present, not the past. The Texans are off today. No practice, no walkthrough. They've got a game against the Steelers tomorrow. Justin Fields will start as he battles with Russell Wilson for that job. Russell Wilson is hurt, so he would be unavailable. It's not that Justin Fields is the number one. He's just unavailable, Russell Wilson. He's trying to come back from injury. So they're playing them. The media's been around the Texans all week long, from Baldinger to the rest of the NFL Network crew. Kay Adams was there yesterday talking to the team. But there's one media member who isn't all in on the Texans. He thinks they're going to be pretty good for the next half decade or so, loves the quarterback, loves the coach, but he offers some reasons for pessimism. Here's Joe Fornbaugh on ESPN yesterday.
Joe, is there someone on that list you think might miss the postseason this year?
I think there's more than one. We're going to limit it to one. I'm going to take the Houston Texans. I'm going to say they missed the playoffs this year. Ooh, you start with the fact that everybody loves the Houston Texans. Yeah, that's how they built Caesar's Palace out in Las Vegas, because everybody with the exact same opinion often works. But that's just the joke part of it, right? They're a 10-win team from last year. You peel back a lot of what they did, there's reason to believe some regression could be coming. Everyone is very fixated on C.J. Stroud's fantastic. D'Amico Ryan's fantastic. Sky, 5 years, it's stock you want to own. Next year, I think there's a step back. Number one, 7-3 in one-score games last year. That's an outlier performance. That regresses to the mean. It means you end up losing more games next year. Number two, top five in turnover differential. There's no stat that predicts wins and losses more than turnovers. The turnover differential falls back, and they were on the outlier side of the spectrum. If that falls back, you have losses there as well. Another thing no one really talks about when we just gush over this team, which, again, they deserve a lot of it, they had a very easy schedule last year. They have a top seven schedule in terms of difficulty this year. Targets on their back. People are coming for them. So you go ahead and you take a tougher schedule. You take a couple indicators that probably aren't going to break their way. One score games comes back to earth. Turnover differential comes back to earth. They did add Steph Diggs. There's a lot to like about them. Again, 3 and 5 years out. I think that's the team that, keep in mind, in that division, Jacksonville's a buy low for me. And I think Indianapolis is going to be right in the hunt, too. And if you miss winning through the division, you got to grab a wild card spot.
That's actually a masterclass of telling a fan base you're not going to make the playoffs, but there's nothing wrong with your team. He didn't say lack of talent. He didn't say CJ would have a regression year, which would make a lot of people upset. Complimented the coach, complimented the quarterback, complimented the talent. Just said kind of things out of your control are going to lead to you not making the playoffs. The schedule you're facing, turnover luck, and if I was going to say the Texans aren't going to make the playoffs, I would hit on those things too. I may go more into some of the roster issues I see in the defensive backfield. Will Titus Howard be healthy throughout the year? And when he is on the field, will he be a legit right tackle? But if I'm going to avoid real hate, I would do what Joe Fornbaugh just did. What did he say about the team that was negative? Other than the averages won't go your way. Well done, sir.
Yeah.
Well
he,
done.
He didn't drop a overrated.
Yeah. CJ wasn't as good as his numbers indicate. None of that.
Just, hey, it's the NFL.
Yeah, sometimes things don't go your way.
You'll have to compete for a wild card spot, mate.
And it'll be tough because the AFC is tough. And no one can push back and say, you know what? You're out of your mind. The AFC is weak. It is, like I said, a masterclass.
It is funny that he was like, which team won't make the playoffs? The Texans, who will have to compete for a wild card spot, which is still a way to make the playoffs.
Yes, he just, for whatever reason, doesn't think they're going to win the division. And he says, and rightfully so, the tougher route to the playoffs is through the wild card, where you're going to be dealing with, whether it be maybe the Jets, maybe the Bills, maybe the Dolphins from the East for that wild card spot. We know the AFC North could be anyone from the Bengals to the Browns to the Ravens. The AFC West, probably not so much. The AFC South, maybe you like the Colts a little bit because you like Anthony Richardson, but then you can just beat them in the division. So I don't hate it, what he said. I do think they're winning the division, though. So this scenario where the wild card is their way through, I don't think they'll have to worry about. The Colts, they're at least in my eyes, they're clear competitor. The Jags, our Trevor Lawrence disdain, let's say disbelief. Our Trevor Lawrence disbelief has been well documented on this show. We've talked about it quite a bit. I do think the Colts could be a problem as far as being their closest competitor. But the Texans, in my eyes, they're winning this division. It may be with the same wins that they had, number of wins that they had last year, but I do think they get there. But not crazy from the ESPN analyst.
Yeah, I want to get my pitchforks out.
Yeah, he led with praise and then kind of whittled it down to why it wasn't going to happen. Can't even get mad. I think they're making the playoffs, and I think he's wrong, but I can't even get mad. The quarterback he mentioned is CJ Stroud. He will get his first action tomorrow. How many plays will he play? How many drives will he have? Actually, let's hold off, because I believe Kay Adams in that clip uttered the word BS, but it was cut off, so we didn't even really hear it. But I want to be safe, so I don't want to set you up to play that. So we'll play that coming back. We'll hear D'Amico Ryans tell us how many snaps the starters will play, and particularly how many drives or snaps CJ will get. We are 1 hour in, 1 hour to go. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You didn't start a business just to keep the lights on. You're here to sell more today than yesterday. You're here to win. Lucky for you, Shopify built the best converting checkout on the planet. Like the just one tapping, ridiculously fast acting, sky-high sales stacking, champion of checkouts. That's the good stuff right there. So if your business is in it to win it, win with Shopify. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/win.